And from the Gemara name of Ketanoim, which is hard to find, about 18 lines down, the last word of the line is Ketanoim. We're going to try to prove with the King Yankuf, King Yankuf, King Yankuf, we did this yesterday, but to get into today's sugi, I'm just going to review the Gemara. Whether King Yankuf is King Yankuf or not. Maybe Ketanoim. The guy bought a field from his father, that is Day Mikna. His Day Mikna goes back to the original owner in Yovel. Unlike his Day Achuza, which goes to the Kahanim in Yovel, if somebody else buys it, not the original owner. He donated it to Hegdish as his Day Mikna. Then his father died, so now he inherited it. Right? But at the time he inherited it, he didn't have it. He had donated it to Hegdish. How do I know we treat it like a Zdei Achuza? It's only a field that can't become a Zdei Achuza. Had it not gone to Hagdish, it would have been a Zdei Achuza. Therefore, we treat it like a Zdei Achuza. And it goes to Kahanim and Yovel unless the original owner brought about. Father died first, and then he was Magdishan. So it came to him as his day Mikna, turned into his day Achuza, and then he was Magdishan. We say it's considered his day Achuza, even though he had gotten it first as his day Mikna. Now, we have a rule. When you have a drasha, you use it for your smallest chiddush. The smallest chiddush is Remeir's. So why did Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon move to a bigger chiddush? The smallest chiddush doesn't say. A guy bought a field. His father died. Then he was Magdishin. Even though he had gotten the field as his day Mikna, but by the time he's Magdishin, it's his day Achuza. Why don't Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon use the pasuk for that? What gives them a right to use the pasuk for a case when he was Magdishin first and then inherited? That's the Gemara's kasha. The Yehuda Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. In the case when his father died and then he was Magdishit, we don't need a pasuk. Obviously, because they're using it for a bigger chiddush. Why not? My la b'hokim iflugi. The chayrin in machloikis is this. Remeir summer king and parents king and akuf dummy. He owned it anyway. He bought it from his father. It was mainly his. Therefore, when his father died, he didn't really get main ownership. He had main ownership before. Had main ownership before, so therefore you would have a havamina that it's not a Zdei Achuza. He inherited it, but he already owned it before his inheritance. His connection to the field, the main ownership was his before. Ubaha b'misas avim hudla yaris lemidi. Not really inheriting much. Well, you can't say he's inheriting nothing. The bottom line is now he owns the goof. Before he didn't own the goof, but kinyan parents kinyan aguf dam. He says. It wasn't the main kinyan. And I'm going to get back to this. This is a very difficult swara, Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon Saba Kinyan Peres Lavka Kinyan Agov Dami. So he did not have the main ownership. So when his father dies, it really becomes his now as a Zdei Achuza. So I don't need a pasuk. It's a Zdei Achuza. So what do I need a pasuk for? So the Gemara wants to say that according to a mayor, because he got it as he bought it first, when his father died, before he was Magdishit, he really didn't gain all that much. So it should you have a havamina that since his first relationship with the field was his Zdei Mikna, it's still considered his Zdei Mikna. Even though Zdei Mikna goes back to an original owner, and now he is the original owner. But the bottom line is, his relationship to this was the main kinyan was his before. Therefore, it didn't really change its status. I need a pasuk to say, no, it's considered a Zdei Achuza. When the Yehuda Reb Shimon, of course it's a Zdei Achuza. He inherited it from his father before he was Magdishin. I don't need a pasuk for that. That's what the Gemara says. Let's see Rashi. Look, Rashi, we did most of the Rashi. Like Tzvichi Krah we're up to, all the way down. The Tzvichi Krah, Dishavakach Meis Vavav Hanolar. King in Paris, Shaitz the Knuyu Lei Miavav that he had from his father, Mishosh Shemeis Avav. The King in Paris, who Shara Yoivu Leheg, it's going into the years of Yoivu. He King in Aguv Dami. The King Meis Avav Le Yoris Midi. But Le Havu Le Achuza. He'll give Elav the Rabbi Krah. Le Havu Amina the Tavik is the Achuza. not of the pasuk including it, I would say it's not a Zeachuzah. It's Rechua Lamei Sabe Vakach Agdisha. So I need a pasuk for that case. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon hold Lav Kikinyan Agav Dami, Vechimei Sabe Vyaris Gufa. So Vechimei Sabe Vakach. I don't need a pasuk for that. That's obvious. That's what the Gemara wants to say. Now, before I move on, the Achronim are very bothered by this. Bottom line is, he got the Kinyan Agav. When he bought the Paris from his father, Yovel would have gone back to his father. It was in the time of Yovel. So he had a king in Paris. Now his father died. So what does it mean he didn't inherit anything? He got the king in Agov. Why does the mayor need a pasuk for that? The Gemara says, because since the king in Paris is the king in Agov, so he had the main kingdom beforehand. And therefore what? He had the main kingdom beforehand. And therefore what? He still inherited. The Gemara says that since he had the king in Paris beforehand, which is the main kinyan, I would have a havamina that it's not considered Zeachuza. Before he inherited it, it would have to go back to his father at Yovel. Now that he inherited it, it doesn't go back to his father. So how can you say he didn't inherit anything? That's the Achronim's problem with his Gemara. But that's what the Gemara wants to say. I'm going to offer a shot that I saw from Shmuel Rozavsky. Again, I'm going to offer it. It's not so simple, but I'm going to try it. Yes. And Remeir would say, since King in Paris, the King in Agov. So when he bought a field from his dad, he had the King in Paris. And now, his dad died, now he has the King in Agov. Then he's Magdish. But I would think, since he owned the main field before his father died, we would view it as a Zay Mikna. He inherited it. How could you not view it as a Zay Achuzah? Let's say he wouldn't have been Magdish. If his father was alive, it would go back to his father at Yovel. Now that his father died, it doesn't go back to his father at Yovel. What do you mean he didn't inherit anything? But he did inherit something. You can't say it didn't change status. That's the problem. Now, if you don't have the problem, I have no problem with that either. It's much easier for me if nobody would have the problem. Shmuel Rozavsky wants to say the following. It's a chiddush. He wants to say that the whole kinyan Paris is kinyan Agov, right? And then the person is mafker is kinyan Agov. The owner of the kinyan Agov is tefker. It automatically goes to the one who owns the Paris. He doesn't even have to make a kinyan, because since kinyan Paris is kinyan Agov, dummy is as soon as that kinyan Agov becomes available, it becomes his. So in a certain sense, he doesn't have to inherit it from his father. If his father is out of the scene, it becomes his automatically. Let's say his father would have been mafker to Kinyan Agov. He sold his son to Paris, and then he announced that he'd be mafker as Kinyan Agov, making it hefker. So without this, you would say, somebody else can come and be kind of the Agov. Hefker. Dr. Zorozowski knows that since Kinyan Paris and Kinyan Agov, as soon as that Kinyan Agov is not owned by the owner, it transfers to the one who owns Paris, because he's Kinyan Agov dummy. And the Mela, you don't need him to inherit his father. You need his father out of the picture. When his father died, he no longer has a Kinyan Agov. You don't even need the laws of inheritance to make it the son's Kinyan Agov. It would happen without the law. Let's say we'd say that a guy dies, everything is hefker. Let's say a guy buys it from a ger that has no yarshim. He bought a field. Okay, the ger can't own land in Eretz Yisrael because of Yovel. But theoretically, let's say he buys it from a ger that doesn't have yarshim. He has the king in Paris. The ger has the king in Agov. And then the ger dies. Usually when the ger dies, everything he owns is hefker. This field would become the guy of the king in Paris. Because since king in Paris is king in Agov, he automatically expands to the Agov as soon as it's available. So that's the Havamina. That it shouldn't turn into a Zeachusa. Because it would have become his without laws of inheritance. Because as soon as his father dies and doesn't have the Kinyan Agov, even if there wouldn't be a halacha called Yerusha in the Torah, he would become his Kinyan Agov. So I have a Havamina. Maybe this is not a Zeachusa. Maybe this is a Zeichna. He got the Kinyan Agov in a different way. Kamash Malon, no. That's considered a Zeachusa.
Father, the son has the right to the Paris, and father has the king of he makes Mahimah Magdish.
The son is Magdish.
No, the father. Father.
That's not the case here. Case here was the one with the Kenyan Paris, inherited his father.
If the father was Magdish,
yeah.
Would it go who does it go back to? The son or the or Monarch?
Now you're asking an interesting child. Somebody sold the field. It doesn't have to be his son. It can be anybody. He sold the field to somebody. That person had the king in Paris to Yevil. Then the father was Magdish's king in Agof. Now, he was Magdish's king in Agof. After, but
he said he died. So it goes right to the son. But if he made a Hekdish, would it go to the son? Or would it go to the son?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's not so automatic then.
But it's not Magdish in this case.
I'm just saying, give you an example of a case where it's not so automatic. It comes out of the picture.
Again, the problem with your case is it creates major problems. Can the son use the field if the father was Magdish, the king in Agof? He's using a Hekdish field.
He already has.
Doesn't make a difference. The bottom line
is. Father do it if the son
this is a big shaila. I rent out my house to somebody, and then I'm magnish it. Can the guy live there? Rent out as a king in Paris. Then I turn around. The guy turned around and was magnish it.
So he pays the rent to Hekdash.
That's so simple. He's living in Hegdish's field, in the house. It's he's either Me'ilo or he's either Hanoah from Hegdish.
Can Hegdish rent out something?
Not allowed to use Hegdish's item and pay for it. Now, there is a Mishnah that says Ma'alus Chayla Hegdish, but this is a big problem, exactly what the case is. So I'm not sure what would happen. It would need a lot of working out the sugyas. So Ron in the Dharm is a few Rishayim to talk about this at length. And for the Gemara. And you need a pasuk for the case of Remeir. You need a pasuk for the case that the guy bought it, then his father died, then he was Magdish. We need a pasuk because the king and parents can king and agov. So how could they use it for a second drasha if they need it for the first drasha? Because they have two drushes. The Hacha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Kra Ashkechu V'darish. They found a second drusha. They agree to Rabbi Meir that I need a pasuk for his drusha. But they say, I have a second drusha. Why? Lichta Rachmana, Im Estei Miknasa, Asheloi Achuzasai. To tell me Rabbi Meir's halacha, it could have said, Stei Mikna, which is not Achuza. And I would have figured out Rabbi Meir's halacha. Because I share loyach uzasai would have been extra. My mizdeyach uzasai. There's an extra word besides the phrase. There's an extra word. Im mizdey miknasai it suffices. I share loyach uzasai tells me Remeir's halacha. What's I share loy mizdeyach uzasai? The word mizdey is extra. So I see two drushes here, Zuck Computer of Shimon. One for the case of Remeir and one for our case. Right? That even though the Hegdish happened before the father died, the extra word Mizdei says that's also a Zayachuzah. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are not arguing that you need a Pasuk. We assumed that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon didn't need a Pasuk for a Meir's case. And we said, why not? Must be they hold, King of Paris is not King and Agov. No, they do need a Pasuk for a Meir's case. Because King of Paris is King and Agov. They need a pasuk for a mayor's case. They say an extra case. They agree to a mayor's case. That's how we understood them. Now we're answering. Yes. We wanted to say it's a machlokes tanoim. The answer is no. All tanoim, all king and parents, king and agov. And the reason the Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon have a right to move to the second drasha, if you need it for the first drasha, is because There's an extra word. Rashi. To include the case when he's magnus before his father dies. Because if the pasuk is only coming for a mayor's rasha, and it shouldn't say the word mistake. Okay, so we finished bringing Rayas. We remain with the machloikas of Yechim and Rosh Lakish. Is Kinyan Peretz and Kinyan Aguf, or is Kinyan Peretz not Kinyan Aguf? Amar Rabbi Yosef. Ila of the Amar Rabbi Yechim and Kinyan Peretz and Kinyan Aguf, Dami. Limotzi Yadav Aragvav Abbeis Medrash. If not of the fact that Rabbi Yechim holds Kinyan Peretz and Kinyan Aguf, he wouldn't be able to find his hands and feet in the Abbeis Medrash. Meaning, he would have been stuck in an unenviable position in the Abbeis Medrash. Because he would have ended up saying a halacha that would have been a shocking halacha. Why? What happens? Yaakov dies, and Shimon and Levi split up his estate. And then Yovel comes. What happens? Is inheritance considered direct, or is inheritance a sale? Brera, or yes Brera, or ain Brera? Let me explain. Yaakov died, Shimon took field A, Levi took field B. Now what does that mean? That Shimon got A from his father and Levi got B from his father? Or they both got both, and for practical reasons, they traded. You take my share in A, and I'll take your share in B. If it's a trade, it's like a sale, on Yovel, it would go back, and we'd rethink the whole thing again.
Back to who?
To the estate. Go back to the pot, and now we would be divided. Now, they could, according to Rashi Shita, they could each stay where they are, but they go through a motion of going back and back. According to other Rishayim, they would have to go back and trade fields to show that it's not definite, it's not permanent. It's only till Yovel. It's a sale. Because Shimon owned half of A and half of B. Levi owned half of A and half of B. For practical purposes, we traded. The guys traded. That's a sale. Sales go back to Yovel. Now, if you hold yes, Brera, we say whatever field Shimon got, he got directly from his father. He didn't buy it from Levi. Whatever field Levi got, he got directly from his father. You hold yes, Brera, Shimon inherited it. He didn't buy a thing. Levi inherited it, didn't buy a thing. If you hold Ein Brera, we don't know what they inherited. They trade. So Yovel goes back. Rabbi Yechon holds Ein Brera. If you hold Ein Brera, who's going to bring Bikurim? Right? The person came into Eretz Yisrael, he died. His kids inherited. But it's not an inheritance, it's a sale. Yovel goes back. So how can he read? Not that much in a satellite. It's not his land. He bought it. Not his land. He doesn't know that he owns this land. He bought it.
Because he traded.
Because he traded. I mean, nobody would bring Bikurim. The only one that would bring Bikurim is if Yaakov dies and he has one son, he would inherit the whole thing. And he dies and he has one son. And he dies and he has one son. Those are the only ones that can read Parshas Bikurim. You hear what you're saying? You hear the big kiddush? That the whole Parsha Mikra Bikurim is only for people who die with one son continuously. They're the only ones. That means maybe there's one yid in Eretz Yisrael that would come and say Mikra Bikurim. And everybody else would not come and say Mikra Bikurim. And remember, we mentioned the Machlokes Rashbam and Taisus. Rashbam holds you Machlokes to bring it with the Raisa. According to Taisus, you don't even have to bring it with the Raisa. Because it's not Aftecha. That means nobody would bring Bikurim to Raisa. Except the person who's, he's a Ben Yochid to a Ben Yochid to a Ben Yochid to a Ben Yochid all the way back to Yishuv Benun. Now, if, you'd be stuck. Therefore, the guy who buys it brings Bikurim and can read because he's the main owner. So, Mamela, he has his feet and hands in the base medrash. If he wouldn't hold Kinyan Peretz Kinyan Aguf and he holds Yerusha as a sale, who would bring Bikurim? So, he said, good to us. That Rabbi Yechon holds Kinyan Peretz Kinyan Aguf. That's what Rabbi Yechon is saying. Because if he wouldn't hold it, There's two machlokes. If he wouldn't hold Kinyan Perek and Kinyan Agov, then he would have a major problem because if he holds a Brera. No. You still have a problem. But then, sale, what does Rabbi Yechon hold? If you buy it, you can bring Bikurim and read because you have the main Kinyan. Rabbi Yechon and held that you buy a field in the days of Yovel, you can be maybe Vikaira. Ah, you don't own the Guf, Kinyan Perek and Kinyan Agov. So the mail is no problem. It is a sale, and they did buy it, and they can still read Bikurim. If he wouldn't hold Kinyan Perek and Kinyan Agov, he'd have a major problem. So it's good that he holds Kinyan Perek and Kinyan Agov. He avoids the problem. I brought you in a question?
Yeah, I'm just trying to say to you, Brera, and if you hold a one of the two, you're not going to have a problem.
Right.
You wouldn't have a problem.
Correct.
Okay, so I mean, we know for sure that Yosef holds a Brera.
Yes.
That's.
We're going to see it in a second.
Okay.
We know he holds a Brera. Tysus, you see this long Tysus?
Yeah, I did last night.
Okay. Tysus has a problem because we paskin a Brera and we paskin King of Bears, Lavki, King of Nagos. That's what it says. It's very nice that the Gemara says Rebekah has no problem, but why don't we have a problem? That's what this long text is about. If your wife helps you learn the text. I'm going to text. He loves Amr Rebekah and King of Paris and King of Nagov Dami. We must see other Baraklav and Base Matters. He wouldn't be able to find his hands and feet in the Beis Medrash. The Amar Abasim Rabbi Yechonon, Ha'achim Shechoku, L'kukasein. Brothers that split up, they bought it from each other. U'machzir Zelus Abayevo. Now Rashi Shita is back, we had it earlier in the Masechta. The Machzir Zelus Abayevo is a formality. Because if they want, they can just take it back what they gave. Rashi Adav Chafayim and Aleph says the Hadr Shakla Kedemikara. It goes back and then he takes it back. It's a formality. The two brothers, quote unquote, halachically put it back into one pot, and then each one takes his field back. They rebuy it.
Because it's Brera?
No, because no. If you say they buy it from each other, what happens, Yevil? Goes back.
Right.
Then they resplit it. So to each one take back the same field?
That would be totally in Brera.
No! They re-split it. There's field A and field B. Shimon took field A, Levi took field B. Yovel comes, A and B go back to the pot, and Shimon and Levi re-split it. They resell it to each other. So Rashi Shita is, Shimon can go back and take A, and Levi can go back and take B. So it's only a formality. Nothing changes on the ground. Other Rishaitim learn that according to Rabbi Yechon holds Ein Brera, the Mechuyev could change the field to show that it was a sale, not a Yerusha. That means Shimon has to move into A and to B, and Levi has to move into A. So every 50 years, they relocate. That's what other Rishaitim say, but Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi learned it's basically a halachic formality. If they want, they can stay where they are.
They switch fields. That doesn't accomplish anything. When they both got it, wasn't it they opened up each other? It's all in the pot. It wasn't like when they switch fields, it wasn't like they're going back to what it was. Cause it wasn't
again, Yaibut comes back to the pot.
Right.
Is there any practical halacha based besides Bikurim? Right. What halacha is there because it goes back to the pot? To what point? Now, there are halachic nafkaminas, but when it happens in Yovel, now what happens now to these two fields? It's back to the pot. The pot is the estate. The shareholders in the estate are Shimon and Levi. What happens?
Now, at this point, they each have dual ownership in both fields.
And what happens now? They have to move on in lives.
Right.
So Rashi, other Rishonim say they have to switch to show that it was only a sale. But Rashi learned it in just emotions.
Naskam, yeah. I mean, if one is makdish it, if one's makdish and doesn't redeem it, that'll be a nafkamina.
Yeah, there's many nafkaminas. I didn't say there's no other nafkaminas, but there's some Yerushalayim to say they have to trade the fields. That's all I'm saying. Yes.
Can this be avoided by the father making having
this cigar?
Who gets which field? And then
it becomes. Only if it's a present. And even a present is a shayla if it goes back to Yaivor or not. It's machlokes tanoim. I don't know how we pass it. In Erechon, it's machlokes tanoim if presents go back in Yaivor.
No such thing as. So, what does the
tavoah
do?
Tavoah, halakhically?
Yeah.
Nothing. Tavoah has to be a present. That's why you write a halakhic will.
Tavoah is really before, it's distributed before they.
No, they don't distribute it before. They distribute it after, but it was given before. Dead people don't own anything. The minute a person dies, he has no money. He's dead. The only money a person has when he dies is the money he gave to tzedakah. That comes along with him.
Is there any other way to put it other than this question of prayer or ayin prayer?
Okay. Now, according to one money, our present would avoid it. It's a machlokes.
Why is that a chusah? Is the present the same thing as equal to a chusah?
Well, that's the shayla, but again, it's like a chusah, yeah. We'll just call it like a chusah. We'll avoid the issue, yes. They traded. The Mishkakas may be Mikaira, but Yerusha. So the Nechlikam, Mishadaf, would be Yeshua. They never had to be split. They had a Chad, Bachad, Shlohoy, Loy, Lov, Chol, and Teres, and Mephrey, and Yeshua, Shnei, Bonham, the Shechad. Nobody had two sons. So you call Yerusha. That would be a big Kiddush. So it's good to Rabbi Yechon, Old King, Yerusha, King Yaguf, so he finds himself safe in the Beis Medrash. Because if not, his hands and feet wouldn't be there. Meaning, there would be such an uproar, he wouldn't get away with it.
It's not just a joke. All the people that...
All the people that hold Abraham
right.
would have to hold King Yabesh and King Yagov, correct. But he's referring to Abraham, he's the one that said King Yabesh and King Yagov. Amarava, Kraw Umasnitsa Messiah Leila Rish Lakish. If you read the Psukim Pashup Shad, Rish Lakish makes more sense. Now, Rabbi Yechonin read the Psukim. It's not like Rabbi Yechonin missed the Pasuk, he didn't miss the Pasuk. But Rav is saying, if you really want to look at a pasuk, it leans Rish Lakish's way. And so does a brisa. I have a pasuk and a brisa that make more sense according to Rish Lakish. The pasuk says, the mismishnei tavua is yim kalach. It's talking about when a person sells after Yavu. It says, he's selling you the years of the use of the grain. A fixed price based on the number of years to Yaivo. And the pasuk says, V'mismer shnei tavu ha'isim kalach. The number of the years of the grain. Which is mashma, that he doesn't get the field, he just gets the grain. The Lashon ha'pasuk is mashma, it doesn't say he gets the field for a number of years, it says he gets the grain for a number of years. Yeah. Which seems to indicate that he doesn't really have the king in a gov. That he only has king in a
gov.
If you hold king in a gov, king in a gov, the pasuk should have said he buys the field for a number of years, not he buys the grain for a number of years. The emphasis should have been he owns the field for a number of years.
But
he can't dig holes there. Rashi. The Mishmash said to us, and the ones that say you can't, it's only because you have a chiyuv to give it back in Yaivul the way you got it. Rashi b'mitzvah shei tavuos b'mishas ha'yayvul mishtoi. He's a sin b'mitzvah shana ma'achayayvul. Alma in guf kar kamochor. El tavuos shukol shana. Again, Rabbi Yechiel wrote the pasuk. He lived through this pasuk. Rabbi is just saying the pasuk is more makes reads better according to his shlokas. Masnisa, where is the brayso? The Tanya. Bechor night to pishnayim besada chazeres lavin b'yayvu. Bechor takes pishnayim. Okay, let's listen to what happens. Dad, now look at as follows. Dad dies, his bechor gets a double portion. Only what dad has, anything that's receivable, the bechor does not get a double portion. He only gets a double portion what the father has. Anything that comes his father's way later, is the bechor only gets a single portion. Father sold the field. It's 10 years before Yaivu, and the father decided to die. Now, 10 years later, this field returns to the father who's dead. Does the Bechor get Pishnayim or not? Dr. Bryce, he gets Pishnayim. Because it's considered that the father owned it the whole time. Now, if you learn Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Agov, really the father didn't own much that whole time. It's a receivable. He got it later. Because while it was sold, the main owner was the other guy. And the Bryce says, we view it as if the father had it the old time, except somebody else was using it. It's not called a receivable, it's called it's there at the time of death. That reads better if you hold Kinyan Peres, Lavka Kinyan Agov. If you hold Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Agov, the main owner is the buyer. That means the father doesn't really own much. And when the Yaivu comes, the father gets it back. That's a receivable. Kinyan Peres, Lavka Kinyan Agov. Dr. Gemara, the Tanya Bechor Noit to Bishnayim, Besada Chazeres Lavin Beyevu. Dr. Rashi, Bechor Noit to Bishnayim, Besada Chazeres Lavin Beyevu. Kleber, Besada Chazeres Laachim Machma Shemach Raviyam. Goes back to the brothers because dad sold it. He the Chazer Bechayav, and he came back when the father's alive, Pshita. Vashmina the Gufa Karkilo Yekonu Lekeach. This Bryce is telling us that we still consider the field the father's. He had it. If Kinyan Peres would be Kinyan Aguf, this would be a receivable. Only what the father has. And since we consider the father has this, that means we're considering he had the main Kinyan. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, now, what happens in a marriage is the husband has the Kinyan Peres, and the woman has the Kinyan Agov, right? The woman has a din Torah with somebody about the land. Can the husband come and be the one that takes them to din Torah? Now the rule is, if I come to Dr. Harris and I say, you owe Avram Kol money, Dr. Harris can tell me, Yitzchak Mar Gaden, I don't know who you are, you have nothing to do with this. What are you getting involved in? Who are you? What are you coming for? What are you coming for? I have a problem with Avram Kohn. I'll deal with Avram Kohn. I have nothing to do with you. Lab out the Zoram Didi. I do not. I have nothing to do. You're not a litigant here. Why are you coming? Who are you? Unless Avram Kohn gives me Hashah. He gives me a star authorizing me to go to Bezin for him. It's called the Star Hashah. Does a husband need a Star Hashah from his wife to represent her to go be the litigant in the case? If you own Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Agov, no. If you own Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Agov, yes. I'm Rabbi Nakhtinam, we paskin. Baal Benichsa Ishtai, Tzarech Hasha. We paskin Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Agov, and therefore if the husband wants to be the litigant, the other guy can tell him, excuse me, sir, I don't know who you are, you have nothing to do with this case. But, he gets Hashah. Rashi, Tarek Hashah me Ishtai. In Bo Lodnim Shum Adam Meguf HaKarka, if he comes to deal with somebody about the land, the Elek Hashah, Motzi Amalek, the guy can tell him, you're not my litigant. You're not my, I don't know what the word is, when you have a case with somebody else. What? So you're not, how do you say you're not standing? What would, you're not... Exactly. The Kenyan Peres, Lavki Kenyan Agov.
Well, what we bring this down for, I mean, we brought Sukkim, then we brought a rye for Brysa.
Now, by saying, this is how we bask him. Lamaisa. The Kenyan. This is what we do.
With you, Psak, now?
Yes.
I just said he learned.
Yes. No. He's not. He says Nakina. This is not halacha. How does our school translate Nakina? What?
Tradition,
which means this is the way we pass. V'loy amar loy nachas haperi. That's if there's no argument about the fruit, only about the land. Avanachas haperi, if they're arguing about the fruit, that's the husband's business.
Right.
And once he's going about the fruit, bigger than mishtar din haperi, mishtar din haguf. Doesn't need arsha. That allows him in the door. And he has, I'll use the word Fred just told, frightful just told me, which is standing. Rashi. The loy nachas the din of haperi, shein lo lovni makulim haperis. Shein loy tainas if I say ish haperis klau, he has no taina. But if he's coming in for the fruit, he has standing, he can have the gate. Hadralach HaShaleach. Hadralach HaShaleach, Hadralach HaShaleach. What? We pass it out like a bech. And that's the problem. That's what Tyson deals with. We pass it in prayer, and we pass it in King of Paris, Lavki, King of Naglov. And the question is, so how brings Bikurim? That's this long time. That's those two tanoim. Welcome to my three passing King of Paris, Lavki, King of Naglov. The Gemara says in Yavama says three cases, the Rosh Lakish Rabbi Yechon have an argument that we pass like Rosh Lakish. And one of them is King of Paris, Lavki, King of Naglov. We had it in Yavama. In the fourth parak. Because the other cases in Yavamas, to give chalitza to Muberes, does it count or not? So we pass like Rosh Lakish in that case as well. The third case is. You want to know if Shigai right? I think it's a case. When a guy gives a matana, his two sons, and he writes matana to one and not to the other in a shtar, whether they're both matana or one is a matana, I think that's okay. Tzadik Meshach Reit. Hanizak Hashem Lam Be'edis. More Tikkun Olam. Again.
All Drabbanan.
Mostly Drabbanan. Which one? Yeah, okay, we'll see. Halizak and Shamalam Be'edis. Now, the problem is this is a deraisa, and the Gemara is going to have to deal why it's taken Ilam. If a guy damages and he pays with land, he has to pay best land. And I'm being vague about this, but the Gemara is going to deal with it at length. Bachoy pays the Be'edis. The guy borrows money, he doesn't pay, and the guy comes to take his land. He can't take the best, he can only take average. Now, the Gemara Babakam has a whole sugya. Best and average are judged by what the world considers best and average, or what this person has best and average. Uksubasisha gets a boris. Uksuba, she's entitled to his worst land, not to his middle, not to his best. This is all Netikin Oila. Why? Tomorrow we'll explain. Rashi? Maybe Rashi will explain some. No, Rashi doesn't say anything. They can collect the money of their damages. Now Rashi tells us, Chat, Gemara is going to deal with this. Rashi is picking one of the opinions in the Gemara, that you pay the best of the mazik. Let me explain. Reuven, I'm sorry, we don't have Reuven in this yet. Shimon is...
Sure?
I don't know. Shimon damages Levi. Shimon damages Levi. Shimon's animal damages Levi. He owes him $1,000. His animal did damage. And now they go to Bezin to pay. And Shimon has very good fields. Levi doesn't have such good fields. So Shimon says to Levi, I'll pay you with land. Take that field over there. And Levi says, I'm sorry, I get the best. So Shimon says, I'm giving you something equal to your best. And Levi says, I'm entitled to your best. Now, what's the difference? You're giving him $1,000 worth. The answer is, let's say Shimon owed Levi $100,000. And the question is, does he get a house in Cleveland Heights, or does he get eight houses in East Cleveland? They're both worth $100,000, or 40 houses in East Cleveland.
No.
Whatever it takes to get to $100,000. Now, the Nizek would rather get the one house in Cleveland Heights than the 20 houses in East Cleveland, even though they have the same monetary value. Shimon is offering Levi, I'll give you equal to your best. You're an East Cleveland resident. Your house is in East Cleveland. You have, that's where your fields are. I will give you East Cleveland property worth the amount of your money. And Levi says, no, excuse me. I'm entitled to your best. I used to say Beechwood, but now in Beechwood for $100,000, you probably can't get a hole. So I would have to make it $1 million. Then you can buy the whole East Cleveland, you know what I mean? What? I have no idea. Before my time. A person would rather get a little bit of better land. This is one of the things that people always question, and I'll explain in a minute. They think an island in the forest for Gemara. See, this is always a question that really, in my mind, defies the explanation. If a house in Cleveland Heights is better for me than five houses in East Cleveland, how can it be worth the same amount of money? Manusha, if everybody would rather have a house in Cleveland Heights than five houses in East Cleveland, why doesn't that make people want to pay more for the house in Cleveland Heights? If a Parker pen costs $5 and big pens cost 19 cents or 29 cents, right? And a person would rather have a Parker than having 20 big pens. So how can 20 big pens in a Parker be the same value? Your value is determined by supply and demand. If more people want the better thing, it should be worth more. Why are they worth equal? It is worth equal. On the market, it is worth equal. I just never could explain why. This question was asked to me 50 years ago. Mamas 50 years ago, a guy came over and asked me this question. We were learning Masechtas Gittin. We learned this Mishnah, and Rashi said it please. And a guy came over to me and says, I don't get it. Why is the economics work that way? If there's a higher demand for something, it should make the price higher. How can something of a lower demand have the same price as a higher demand?
It doesn't have higher
demand. Why would a person rather have it is than Zaboris?
Why, this one person,
yeah. Every person, the Gemara says every person would rather have it is than Zaboris.
Some people can't afford a house in Cleveland Heights, they can afford one house in Cleveland.
Yes, but he's being offered...
More people like that, they can afford in East Cleveland, they can afford...
Got it. But five houses in East Cleveland equal one house in Cleveland Heights. That means people were willing to pay as much for five houses in East Cleveland as much as they're willing to pay as one house in Cleveland Heights. Yet, every person, Rashi says, would rather have the house in Cleveland Heights than the five houses in East Cleveland.
Do you ever play Monopoly?
What?
Do you ever play Monopoly?
Always.
Hard place.
Yeah, of course. You, they have different names now in all the games. But yeah, the Park Place, they changed them. Yeah, but...
Rabbi, I think it's because you're viewing this as a resident rather than a dealer. To a dealer, the resale value of the five versus one is the same.
You're right. So, meaning, but I hear what you're saying. Residents want one over the other, but price is determined by dealers, not by residents.
Right. I'm flipping houses. I don't care if it's a $1 million house or $100,000 houses. I'm not going to live there. The question is, what can I get for it when I get repaid by you?
But Rashi's saying all people would rather have less higher quality land than more lower quality land. And the reason for that is because the bigger the land, the more work you have to put into it.
You're missing one thing here. You know what's nice? If people have, let's say, shtuch, the thing to say, I own five houses.
I understand. But again, but Rashi says, every person would rather have less high quality and then more lower quality. That's what Rashi's telling us. Not in residence, in fields. I'd rather have an acre of Itis than more of the Zaboris because I have less work to do. The same, plowing is the same. I understand why, but why doesn't that change the price is what bothers me. Somebody, I told you, this question was asked to me when I was 50 years ago. Sitting in the basement, I still remember where I was. Somebody came over and asked me this question.
Who was it?
I don't remember. But I remember the question. But it is. That's the way it is. The mice it is. That's the price in the world. And a person would rather have one than the other, and the price is still the same. I said I never really understood it, but it is what it is.
Because it's a Noach, though, easier. That's what he wants. Easier for
that means he wants it.
But it's easier.
I don't care why he wants it, but he wants it.
He wants it.
So if he wants it, why shouldn't that change the value? If more people want something, doesn't that make the value go up?
Over here.
You can't modify that. You can't put that into money terms, that desire that he wants it. That's the thing.
Again, I just mentioned it because somebody asked me this a long time ago. That's all. I like to repeat the question. But again, reality is reality. I just said I really can't explain it, but the reality is the reality. But the loy lingus harim is we kill them they take an island from the farish megamar. Next case in the Mishnah. Ain of Rom and Chasim Shabbat the Makom Sheyesh the Chasim Bnei Chayim and Filein Zaburis. This is a guy went. Let's say he damaged, or he borrowed money. He has to either pay Idis or Beninis, and then he sold off his fields. And he has one field left, but it's lower quality. And the guy who borrowed, lent the money said, excuse me, I'm entitled to pay this. I'm going to get it from the guy who bought it from you. I have a lien on it. The halacha is, as long as the borrower has any field, you can't touch the buyers. As long as he has any field, if he has no field, you have a lien. You can go get it. But as long as the borrower... No, it's only if he doesn't pay money. He doesn't want to pay, he doesn't have money. So the guy has to take a field. So he says, I want to get that field. That's the field I should get. Well, sorry, I don't have it anymore. But I have a field. You can take this field. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful day.